Okay, so we are very honored to have our morning talk delivered by Noga Alon, who will talk on, let's see, you will put a little bit of transparency.
It's a great pleasure to be here, and here is the title. Let me first apologize that I'm not Goyan Mohar, and second, let me thank Goyan for agreeing to switch our time slots, and third, let me promise that I'll mention at least one joint result with Goyan, so even if you came hoping to hear him, hopefully this will not be a total disappointment. Here is a title. It's a long title, as you see, that enables me to talk about anything I wish. Acyclic coloring, strong coloring, least coloring, and graph embedding. And I start with acyclic coloring, actually edge acyclic coloring, and it's good to start maybe with a conjecture, because this way, if you don't want to listen, you can think about it. So here is a conjecture. I think it's nice. It's pretty recent. Maybe can make it to the second edition of the Jensen Toft book if it survives. So here is what it says. It says that whenever you give me a graph with maximum degree D, then the edges can be colored by D plus 2 colors, so that this is a proper edge coloring. No two adjacent edges get the same color, and also no two cycle is two colors. This, if it is true, it is tight. So here is an example of a complete graph on, it is going to be complete soon, a complete graph on six vertices, and I'm trying to color the edges by the minimum number of colors so that it's a proper coloring and no cycle is two colors. Now you see I can have, so every color class is a matching. Here you see the black matching consisting of three edges. Obviously I cannot have two matchings of three edges because the union will be a cycle. Will be a two-factor of the graph, so every other matching should be at most two edges, and therefore we know, the number of edges of a complete graph is 15, three edges, the remaining are 12, so we should be able to do it with six other matchings of size 2, and here is one way to do it. So altogether we have here seven matchings, and that's an acyclic coloring. There is no two-colored cycle. And here seven is exactly the maximum degree, this graph is regular. Degree is 5 plus 2. Okay, so the conjecture would say that this is always possible. Get the definition. So we call an edge coloring of the graph is acyclic if it's a proper edge coloring, then the adjacent edges get distinct colors, and also no two cycles is two colors. And now we denote by A prime of G, because the prime shows that we are talking about the edges. So that would be the minimum number of colors in an acyclic edge coloring of the graph G. And here I give you another example, that A prime of the complete graph of size 4 is 5, because we can take one matching consisting of two edges, and all the rest would be single edges. Right? And we denote by delta of G the maximum degree of the graph G, and then the conjecture I just stated
says that for every graph G, this A prime of G is a closed delta of G plus 2.
Now this may well be false, but if it is true, then it's not easy, because it implies several things, and it seems to be true. So if I would have known to prove it, then maybe I would have spent this hour trying to show you the proof, but I don't. So I tell you some of the things we know about it, and I tell you several other coloring results and questions which are related, meaning that this will be mostly a survey, but in the second half I'll indicate some proofs, although maybe I won't give all the details of the So acyclic because the union of every two colors is acyclic, doesn't contain a cycle. I mention also vertex acyclic, we heard about them in the first day, but you told me that we are not allowed to assume that people remember everything that was done in the previous day, so I remind you. Now, let me tell you some known results which maybe support this D plus 2 conjecture. So, of course, the first thing is the classical result of Visin, which the edges of every simple graph with maximum degree delta can be colored by delta plus 1 colors properly. Here we don't think about the cycles, but then delta plus 1 are enough. Okay, so that's of course one thing we know. Now here is something that at the time seemed to us pretty strong, but now it seems that much more is true. So this is something we proved with Colin McDermott and Bruce Reed, and then Mike Malone and Bruce Reed improved the constants, basically the same proof. And it says that for every simple graph G, then this A prime of G is an edge acyclic chromatic number, is at most some constant, 16, let's say, times delta of G. So we don't need much more than the maximum degree. Well, I think we need only delta plus 2, but we don't need more than the constant. Now, something where the delta plus 2 appears, so this recent result with Benny Sutakov and Eyal Zaks, and it says the following, so at least for graphs with big girth, no short cycles, this is true. So the girth of the graph is the length of the minimum cycle in it, and what this says here, I mean, the first part, is that if the girth of the graph is big as a function of the maximum degree, namely if it is at least constant times the maximum degree times log of the maximum degree, this constant maybe is 3 or something, then delta plus 2 colors to fax for an H acyclic color. So if there are no short cycles, then it's okay, which makes sense. I mean, if there are no short cycles, then things are easier indeed. Now here is another thing. So often when conjectures like this fail, then some random graphs are counterexamples, and here it says that for random graphs that's okay, at least for random regular graphs. Namely, if you fix a degree delta and you look at, let's say, and you fix some large n and you look at all the labeled delta regular graphs on n vertices, then for almost all of them, in the sense that with probabilities that tends to 1 as n tends to infinity, for almost all of them, this conjecture would be true. The H acyclic number would be at most the degree plus 2. In fact, if n is even, it would be even at most the maximum degree plus 1. So, and such random graphs do have some short cycles, only they have a small number of them. Okay, now, still some other results or conjectures that support this one. So one kind of thing is that we don't know this conjecture to be true even for complete graphs. Just showed to you for a complete graph on 6 vertices, but we don't know if it is true for a complete graph on 2 million vertices. Okay. So here is a conjecture of Hotsky from
designed by conjecture. It was the first of quantum polarization conjecture. This was conjectured several times by several people, including copies of the first one. It says the following, that if you take a complete graph on an even number of vertices, so 2n vertices, then you can color the edges properly by 2n minus 1 perfect matchings, so that the union of every two perfect matchings form a Hamiltonian cycle. Right? And here is a picture for four of that you just take three perfect matchings and say, anyway, you do it, of course, that the union of every two matchings form a cycle of sense 4, which is the Hamiltonian cycle in this case. And this is known in several mm-hmm. cases, for example, if A is a prime, and in some other cases, A. Now, it is not difficult to observe that this conjecture of Kotzig is actually equivalent to the fact that the edge chromatic, the cyclic edge chromatic number of the complete graph on the odd number of vertices is equal to the maximum of the degree in this graph plus 1. And therefore it also implies the conjecture that I mentioned for every complete graph. In fact, there is a way to strengthen this conjecture that I mentioned slightly, and then for a complete graph it would really be equivalent to this conjecture of course. So this is maybe an indication that it's not going to be very easy to prove it, because even for a complete graph it seems difficult to prove it. It may still be not too difficult to disprove it, as I said, so I don't care.
But I believe it's true.
When you showed us case 6, you needed 7, which was 90 degrees plus 2.
Right, yeah. So for even you need, for even complete graphs, it is easy to see that if this conjecture is true, it is tight. You always need, just by counting, you always need the degree plus 2 for even complete graphs. And for odd, you need plus 1 if this conjecture is true. Okay, so I'll get back to this also, but meanwhile, let me talk a little bit about the vertex acyclic coloring. About these people who know to go between the two overheads, and at the end all the transparencies are still ordered from 1 to 25 or something. I don't know how to do it. But, okay, so let's talk a little bit about vertex acyclic coloring. That's a more studied notion, and we heard a little bit about it in the first lecture by Halvorsson. So here I remind you of the definition. A vertex acyclic coloring of a graph is, now we are coloring vertices, it's a proper vertex coloring, and the union of every two color classes of vertices is acyclic, doesn't contain a cycle. And we denote by A of G, now without a prime, would be the minimum number of colors in a vertex acyclic coloring. So here is an example, say, vertex acyclic coloring of the graph of the three-dimensional cube is 4. So here you see a coloring, an acyclic coloring by 4 colors, and it's not too difficult to see that you cannot do it with 3 colors. If you have 3 colors, and some color will appear at most on 2 vertices, and if you delete it, then you can see every set of 6 vertices of the three-dimensional cube contains a cycle. So people studied a lot acyclic coloring of graphs embedded on surfaces, and maybe in particular on the plane. There was this conjecture of Grunbaum, again mentioned by Mike in the first lecture of this conference, that the vertex acyclic chromatic number of every planar graph is at most 5. And Grunbaum actually proved that 9 colors are enough. It was improved to 8 by Nitschen, then by Albert von Berman to 7, by Kostochka to 6, and then Borodin to get its 5. Which is a good thing about integers, is that any sequence like this is finite. And as mentioned already, this proof is not easy, so it has somehow a lot of case analysis. And now here is
one thing actually suggested the following conjecture, the same question of your problem. So the question, same question was suggested by Albert von Berman. So we want to compare, the acyclic chromatic number of every graph is at least its chromatic number, so it has to be a proper coloring. Sometimes it can be bigger. For a planar graph, sometimes it can be 5. There are very simple examples where you really need 5 colorings. Now the question was, for every surface besides the plane, maybe still the maximum possible acyclic chromatic number of graphs embeddable on this surface is equal to the maximum possible chromatic number of graphs embedded on this surface. If it would have been equal, then it should be for the same graph, right? Because if you take the one that gives this maximum for the chromatic number, that's right. Because one of them is always bigger than the other, then so if the maximum is the same, then it should be the same graph, but if not, then it could be a different graph. But the way it is stated, let's say that you are allowed to choose a different graph. Okay. And this Borodin conjecture, the answer to this was yes. I think that you only asked because it was the other. And what we proved, and that's with Mohan and Jim Sanders, with some skills by Louis Robertson, the answer is no. In fact, there are some reasons to suspect that the answer, that this is false for every single surface. So probably it is always different. But this we don't know, but we do know that for many surfaces it is different, and there is some nice asymptotic result here, so let me tell you about it. And and that's also an opportunity to mention the net color theorem that's due to Ringel and Young from the 60s, and it says that the maximum possible chromatic number of a graph embeddable on any surface, let's say a surface of genus G, is known precisely. It's pretty impressive, actually, if you haven't seen it before. And it's exactly the floor of what you see there, 7 plus the square root of 1 plus 48 times the genus over 2. Now, you see that this is true even for genus 0. So then it is 4, and that's the 4 color theorem. And for every bigger genus, it's also this formula. But the proof, of course, for the plane is very different from the proof for every other surface. In fact, for the plane, the difficult case is to prove the upper bound, right? So to get a planar graph which needs 4 colors is not so difficult, but to prove that 4 colors are always enough is difficult. Here, actually, to prove that Z many colors suffice is easy for positive G, that follows from Euler's formula. And the difficult part, and this was done by Ringel and Young, is to show that a complete graph on that many vertices can always be embedded in such a surface. Still, of course, for positive G, this is much simpler than the four-color theorem. Now, for us, the only thing that is interesting is that this basically behaves like square root of the G. And then, maybe somewhat surprisingly, what we proved with Boyan and then Sanders is that the following. So if you look at the maximum possible acyclic chromatic number of a graph embeddable on a surface of genus G, then it essentially behaves like the genus raised to the power of 4/7. I say somewhat surprisingly, because why would it be 4 over 7? But it turns out to be 4 over 7. Up to some logarithmic factor, so the upper bound is some constant, maybe 50 times g to 4 over 7, and the lower bound is some constant g to 4 over 7 over some
log power. And I'm still at this part not giving the proofs, but I say that this is basically probabilistic, and it is the sum of the basic ideas, the upper bound is the sum of the basic ideas in the proof of the four corner theorem, basically some discharging for spells, and then it uses also the following, which is something with the well known calling thermic and loose read. That's the acyclic chromatic number of every graph whose maximum degree delta is not more than some constant delta to 4/3, and again up to some logarithmic factor that's time. This was the question of Erdős. You see, it's very easy to see that if you have a graph with maximum degree delta, then you can color it by something like delta squared plus 1, let's say, color in an acyclic way, because you just make sure that the so here delta is 4, I guess. You make sure that every vertical vertices within the distance 2 get distinct corners. Now then, of course, it would be a proper coloring, but also no cycle will be two colored because you can't find the same cycle in distance 2. And to do this, you just have to look at the maximum degree of the square of the graph, that is delta square. So by delta square, plus 1, let's say, colors, you can color it so that it will be acyclic. But what Erdős wanted is if you can really get a acyclic chromatic number to get little O of delta squared, and it turns out that again the correct exponent up to this log factor is a delta to the 4/3, and that is used
in this proof of the 4 over 7.
Now let me now move to something which maybe is even less studied, and that's a strong coloring.
Okay, I think it's a nice notion, so maybe it's
worthwhile to know about it. Now, there is some technical assumption here, and I should warn you that you are not supposed to use this technical assumption in your future work, because this is just for the purpose of the lecture today. And this assumption is that from now on, for every two integers k and n, k divides n. So it makes things simpler, and of course everything here can be done even without this assumption, but then things get complicated. So I assume that everything divides everything else. So. Mm-hmm.
But I will try not to get some funny consequences out of this.
So here is the definition. It may sound strange at first, but then I show you that in fact we heard yesterday something about it. So what do I call the strong chromatic number of the graph? And that would be S chi of G. So that would be the minimum number k such that whenever we partition the set of vertices of the graphs to disjoint sets of size k each, which we can because k divides the number of vertices, then always we can k color properly the graph so that in each set vi we see all the colors. Right? So equivalently this says that if you take this graph G, then whenever you put on it clips, disjoint clips of size k each, then this graph with the clips together with the original graph, still the chromatic number of it is exactly k. And of course in this coloring every clip would be all the colors would appear. So that's the definition of the strong chromatic number, and as I mentioned, let me mention some examples, and this we heard this is a lecture of Bondi yesterday, and that's a result by Leichner and Stiglitz, also put by Stark. So that says that the strong chromatic number of a cycle of n, the cycle of n, say, 3n, is 3. Namely, whenever you take a cycle, no matter how you put on it clips of size 3, namely disjoint triangles, then the chromatic number is 3, even the least chromatic number is 3. And
and as was mentioned yesterday, this was conjectured by Erdős, extending some related conjecture of Du, Shu, and Wang about some existence of some independent set, and the proof actually gives even that the least chromatic number of this graph is 3. And the proof of Fleischner and Stieglitz, also the other proof by Sachs, uses some sort of delicate counting. Usually, when I say delicate counting, it means I haven't read the details. But here actually it's true. One nice algorithmic question about this is that both proofs do not provide any efficient, let's say, polynomial time algorithm for the corresponding algorithmic problem. Suppose I give you a cycle and I give you triangles, then you know by this theorem that it is a three-colorable, but can you find a three-coloring in polynomial time? In fact, you know even that it is three least colorable. Suppose I give you also least, can you color from this least? That's not known, and this is because both proofs use either some algebraic things, whether with some counting or some counting, so definitely they are not constructive. So this is one example, and you see, since it's a strong chromatic number, you say, is a pretty difficult parameter, because even to show that for a cycle it is 3, it requires some work. So for a very simple graph, to
Okay, so here is some result about the strong chromatic number. You see, it is always for every graph, it is at least the maximum degree. Like if you have a graph, here is a vertex of maximum degree,
then we can contend that the strong chromatic number is strictly bigger than the maximum degree, because if I put here one of my sets, U1, let's say, then all the colors have to be here, and therefore you will not have any colors left for this. So it is always at least the maximum degree, and you may wonder if it can be much bigger than the maximum degree. And here is something that
one can prove, is that in some sense it is not much bigger. So for every graph G with maximum degree delta, then, well, first, the strong chromatic number of G is at most 2 to the delta plus 1, so it is bounded by a function of the degree. And the second is that, in fact, it is bounded by some constant times delta. This constant is pretty big, so maybe 2 to the 100 or something. So for small values of delta, this bound is better. So, for example, every graph with maximum degree 3, the strong chromatic number of it is at most 16. Always you see that this would and the proof of this is also algorithmic. So if you give me a graph with maximum degree delta and you put on it cliques of size some big constant times delta, then one can find in polynomial time a coloring so that all the colors appear in each of the cliques there. So if we would apply this just to the cycle, it would say the strong chromatic number. So although it's written here 2 to the delta plus 1, really what should be here is 2 to the chromatic index of the graph plus 1. And therefore, for the cycle, this would really show that strong chromatic number is opposed to 4. I mean, we know that it's 3, actually, but the 4 is somehow easier to get. I mean, if you have a cycle, you put on it clicks of size 4, then the resulting graph is 4-colorable. You can try to think about it, so that's an easy exercise after you in retrospect. Now, I want to show some applications of this statement, in particular it will be connected also to this acyclic coloring graphs and to some other things. So in fact, Erdős once told me that if you do the same result for two seemingly different problems, then it's a method, not a theorem. So I'll try to show you the method. So here is the first claim that I want to almost show you the proof,
So I mentioned that with the code and tags, we proved that that if a graph has maximum degree d and no short titles, if the girth is at least constant d, log d, then we can color the edges by d plus two colors, so that it's proper coloring and there is no two color cycle. So I want to show you a slightly weaker result, namely assume that girth is at least constant d cubed. But still, just there are no short cycles as a function of the maximum degree, then the acyclic edge chromatic number is at most d plus 2. This is one to two. And the advantage of this proof, the d log d proof, is that this proof is also algorithmic. So we can actually really find an acyclic coloring of any such given
a graph, and here is the proof. It's pretty simple, given this result about the strong chromatic number. So, it is simple if we have a little bit more time, but so this way I'll just step number three, I kind of wave my hand. So here is how we do it. So first we use Vsync. We get a graph with maximum degree D and no short cycles. We first use Vsync to properly color the edges by D plus one color. Now basically we want to use these colors, but every color class is a matching, but the trouble is that the union of two matchings may contain cycles, or many cycles, so we have all those alternating cycles, and we have to destroy them. So the idea would be now to pick some set of edges, not too many of them, that will destroy all the alternating cycles, and still they would be far from each other, so we can color all of them by a new color. So this color would still be a matching, and will not create any new alternating cycle, because every two edges of this new color will be far from each other. Let's say it would not be of distance one, not the JSON, not the distance one. So here is how we do it. We know that every alternating cycle is long. In fact, every cycle is long, the girth is big. So we can use Hall's matching theorem to assign to each alternating cycle some set of edges, quite many of them, some constant d-square edges, that will belong only to this alternating cycle, right? Because every edge belongs to the alternating cycle, so we have to choose the other color, and every cycle contains a lot of edges, so we can assign to every cycle a lot of edges that belong only to. Now what we are supposed is to choose one edge from each such set of edges assigned to each cycle so that these edges are far from each other. And that would follow from this strong chromatic number because, and here, I mean, simple, but we show it in the lecture, we say. We construct a new graph. Right? And this new graph, its vertices would be the edges of the graph G, and two of the vertices would be adjacent if their distance in G is small, if they are either adjacent or at distance one. So the degree of this graph is at most twice D squared. Now, on the other hand, remember that on this graph, so we have this graph which consists of the edges of the cycle. We have these blocks that correspond to C D squared edges coming from each alternating cycle. So we have all these blocks. And we know that in this graph which we constructed, the auxiliary graph in which two edges are adjacent, even though if they are closed, the maximum degree is pretty small, it's not more than D squared. And therefore, because of the result about the strong chromatic number, we can actually color these graphs so that all the color classes appear in each of these parts. And now we just take one color class. This one color class will contain one thing here, that's actually an edge of G, and one thing here, and one thing here, and so on. So one vertex in each, and that's exactly an edge in each alternating cycle, and all these edges are far from each other, so we just follow them by each color. And that's it. So this is one application of this strong coloring. we wanted to claim that
so let me give you two other equations which are even simpler. So the first one has to do with least coordinate. You remember that I still have least coordinate and graph embedding in Skype, and I have 5 minutes. Let's see how good. So least coordinate, we already heard about something about least coordinate, so that's a natural generalization of usual coloring, where we are supposed to color each vertex from a least assigned lead. And we heard actually something about the history of this question. Basically, it appears first in the paper of Lizzie in 76, and another paper by Ferdish Rubin and Taylor in 79. And I don't want to talk much about this coloring, so I just want to tell you some conjecture about it and some results, both of the group 3, so the result is like a weaker result of the conjecture. So the following conjecture, 59, is supposed to give the least analog of the obvious statement that the graph with maximum degree D is D plus 1 color. So suppose I give you a graph, G, and a list of colors, SV, assigned to every vertex. Suppose each list is of size K plus 1. Now, we don't care about the degrees of the graph itself, maybe very big, but we don't care about it. What we care is the following. Suppose that in the list of some vertex you have the color red, then what you care is how many neighbors it has such that red appears in their list. You see, because if a neighbor of a vertex has a list which is totally disjoint from the list of colors that this vertex has, he doesn't have to care about it. Right? So suppose, this again is the assumption, that for every vertex and for every color that appears in its list, the number of neighbors of this vertex that contain this color is at most k. Then the conjecture says that list of size k plus 1 suffice. Maybe then there is a proper coloring assigning to each vertex a color from its list. This is a conjecture. Seems to be true. It seems to be difficult. Here is something that is not too difficult. It is something that is true. So we place the conjecture by its theorem, and then we place the k plus 1 by c times k. So if we give the list cardinalities, and every two sets that share a coordinate, either the first coordinate or the second coordinate, there are no edges between them. And then we kind of keep doing the same thing, and at the end, we have just one vertex in each class, which is left, and this vertex will be mapped to vertex number i1, i2, up to is of g, and you can compute the same thing.
It's hard to follow in this. But it is simple. So let me just finish with maybe one additional open problem. As I already mentioned, the original problem I started with was the D plus 2, so every graph with a maximum degree D, which is simple. You can color the edges properly by D plus 2 colors, so that no cycle is 2 colors. Then another maybe nice question that I mentioned is this conjecture of 3 about the K plus 1, the least coloring. And here is another, so it is motivated by this strong coloring. So what is the maximum possible strong chromatic number of the graph G with maximum degree 3? We said that it's not more than 16. But could it be true that whenever you give me a graph with maximum degree 3, even if I put on it clicks of size 6 or something, then still the chromatic number of this is 6? I think that I don't have any lower bound here. So probably 4, let's say trivial lower bound would be 4, or it would be 5 or something. It would be nice to get it lower, also for this universal graph, it would give some effect on
on lowering the number of vectors. Okay, so I think I talked enough, maybe more than enough. Thanks for your attention.
So it's kind of, so the question was if there is any connection between the D plus 2 here and the D plus 2 in the total coloring conjecture, right? It sounds So you're saying that possibly this would imply the
total coloring can imply this one hundred to standard.
Well, so if you replace every vertex by an edge, then the degrees would not sure how exactly to do it, but but let's say that it's a nice, it's reasonable to think if this is related to the total coloring conjecture, especially since the D plus 2 appears in both. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I agree that it's worthwhile trying to think about it.
If you have this very strong instance of
cyclic
coloring where no two edges at distance 2 from the same color, then you can always get the delta plus 2 total coloring from such a coloring.
But here you definitely need to color by induced matching, we need sometimes a quadratic number in terms of
the
not quite that I know. So then the question is, if in the cycle plus triangle, can we find an independent set hitting every triangle in polynomial time? I don't know. I don't know anything for that which doesn't really use the same. Usually, I mean, these search problems and decision problems, usually they have the same complexity. So somehow it's very frustrating when you have an existence theorem and you don't have an algorithm.
What I think
also by counting, right? So if it's counting, then again, it's not algorithm. I think the trouble with algorithm is not just the algebraic part, but more maybe the counting part. So it is easy, but you know, it's one of these things that you say it is easy, then you think about it for an hour, and then you indeed see that it is easy. But it is easy. So I can show it in 2 minutes, but it's easy. But I agree that it's not like totally obvious. So again, the thing is that if a graph G, suppose the strong chromatic number of a graph is K. Now suppose now that you put on it cliques of size k plus 1, is it obvious now that you can color it by k plus 1 colors, so that every So it is true, and let me not show it. It's, but indeed, so for example, does it follow from the triangles and cycle theorem that if you put clicks of size 4 on the cycle, and you can, or clicks of size 17, and it follows?
Okay, if there are no more questions, let's go to the end.